Well, praise God. It's been way too long since we were really able to get together. There's no way that I can share everything that I want to share. We need to have a mini conference. But we'll do Jesus, sometimes when he preached, he just preached a whole lot of messages in a short order. He'd preach a whole message in one word. What the kingdom of God was like, what the kingdom of heaven was like. He would say, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall see God, and that's a message in itself. He would say all manner of things. Last night I was texting with a friend of mine, and he informed me that he guessed maybe God didn't watch over his people all the time. And he was basing that on the fact that there'd been a tragedy in his family, and the tragedy had occurred with one who was near and dear to him, and that person near and dear to him had been a lover of Jesus, and he had just last night found some Bible notes, and he said to me that if he didn't have his kids there, he'd just end it all because it was too hard. I assured him that was not going to happen. He said, well, I just don't get God. And he said, that's why God brought you and I together. You're going to get God. The devil's not going to get you. But the Lord has been speaking to me about his closeness to us, his care for us, about him being our father, a real father. And this morning as I was praying, the Lord just said, I take care of my own. I always take care of my own. And when he said that, well, he said it twice. And when God says things twice, I think, it's not anything profound. We know that, right? We know that he does. But we also know from what's gone on this morning that he knows that he takes care of us and we drag things out of the pit with us. He gives us opportunity to shake them off. And we no more than get them shook off when they come wanting to come back. Wanting to get back on. Like snot or whatever. A long time ago, God spoke to us about being Teflon, slick, things sliding off. Bernie's word about that anointing oil has made you nonstick. That means in order for it to hang on now, you've got to put hook-ons for it. You got to be, like mountain climbers. They'll nail pile into the mountain and then they'll clip the rope to it. Well, we don't want to be people who are clipping those things on. We want to be people who are just letting them slide off. The enemy says, oh, you can't get rid of them. It's too hard. The enemy's a liar. Jesus said that oil makes it so they slide off. But what the enemy does is try to get you to hold on to them, try to get you to keep them. But the Lord says, I always take care of my own. You know, if we have any doubt about that, if we question that even a tiny bit, then we are not going to enter the kingdom of God. I'm not talking about going to heaven. I'm talking about entering into the things that God has for us. Because when God says, I give you peace, if we have any doubt that he gives us peace, then what are we focused on? I'm happy to report that this week in jail, as one of my groups was going out of the jail, one young gal stood there and she said, when do you come back? And I said, I'm not positive. I need to have a note in my arm, write it on, but then they'd think I had tattoos in there or something. But I thought that I knew. And she said, well, do you think that I could ask Jesus into my heart? I said, I think they'll wait for us. We'll do it now. Those jailers are really kind. They realize that I take a long time, and they give me extra time. And it's very seldom is there a group that goes out that they aren't still standing at the door waiting for somebody to come out. Praise the Lord for that. But the very first group, this last Thursday, I said, "How are you?" And the first word out of anybody's mouth was one man sitting right here to the right hand of me, and he said, "Locked up." And I said, "Well, that's a fact. But the truth can make you free. If all you do is focus on that fact, you're going to be really miserable." Well, as the time went on and we talked, and you know, because when I go there, I just pray, "God, I want what they need." Same thing as I pray, "God, I want what we need when we come here." And I don't know for sure. I have some thoughts, but sometimes the greatest thoughts I think I have never get preached. So they're saved for something else, or they were something personal that he was just trying to teach me, or whatever the case might be. But before we got done with that particular group, I said, "You're really discouraged. We need to pray for you." And man, everybody in the place joined in praying for that guy for discouragement. Well, part of that was because they fought discouragement too. But as we prayed for him to be free from discouragement, he began to weep. And he began to be free. And lightness began to come to him. And everybody said amen. Nobody laughed at him. And we had a great time in the Lord. You know, when you share, and you know this, when you share with people, you learn things. Just even Harlan coming up here and sharing about how that stuff went down the shower, I guarantee you the Holy Spirit will reveal other things to him. It's interesting you should talk about that, Harlan, because I can remember hours that we spent praying together in my little office that my wife wouldn't probably let us into now because I've got it into such a mess. But we could still get in there to pray. And we spent hours praying and believing and trusting. And I believe God has more than answered every prayer we prayed in that room. He's gone abundantly above and beyond what we could hope or imagine because he's a good God. And anyway, I was, remember last time we got together, Bernie had talked about how those declarations were turning a page. And since then, the Lord has spoken to me much. Remember I mentioned the Bob Seger song, "Turn the Page." And, you know, it's funny, when I go to jail, those people really understand me. And they tell me it's because they know I know how they feel. Well, I've been open with them and said the only reason I didn't learn it in jail was somehow I got around it. But I took opportunities to get there if I wanted to. But whenever I said, "Turn the page," lights would come on in their eyes. They thought of that song. One guy said, "Oh man, are you going to beat out a Seeger song for us?" I said, "Actually, I really am. I'm going to sing to you, 'Turn the Page.'" The chorus in "Turn the Page" says, "Here I am, I'm on the road again. Here I am, up on the stage. Here I go, playing star again. There I go, turn the page." And basically what the song talks about is he's on a long and lonesome highway. He's going down the road. He's miserable. One of the lines talks about how, you know, most times you can hear him talk, other times you can't. It's the same old cliche. Is that a woman or a man? He had long hair. He said, you know, you come in to the restaurant, you're shaking off the cold. You feel their eyes upon you and just want to explode. Why? Because you were just a star on a stage and now they just want to cut your hair. You're nobody to them in the place where you go. And then it's just another page. And I was singing that chorus, and the Lord just gave me a revelation about the fact that's what we all are. We're born and we're on our own road. And even a little kid, he might do what his parents say, but it's like the story about the little kid in school that they made him sit down. He said, "Okay, I may be sitting down, but in my mind I'm standing up." We are writing our own story. We are the stars of our own show. But there comes a time when we have the opportunity to turn the page. You know, Bob Seger, he was going along. I mean, he says that he went from station wagons to airplanes. One album just launched his career. But then about 10 years ago, he just went off into the mountains and raised his kids. He turned a page. Now, I'd like to tell you that he turned a page and just got gloriously saved and that was all he could talk about. I don't know that that's the case, but I pray for him. All the musicians that I used to like in my old life, I pray for them. Because they got gifts that came from God. That's the only place they come from. But the Lord spoke to me about that, that, you know, there we are, we're on the road. And I'm telling you that as I shared that, those guys just and girls, they just said, yeah. Yeah, that's right. Been on our own road, writing our own story, been our own star. Like I said to them, you know, I wasn't totally useless in my previous life, depending on who you talk to, of course. Might have done something good once in a while, but I was still on my own road, just like all of you were on your own road. And just like we all are from time to time on our own road. We get back on our own road sometimes. Let's face it, you know. Who do we care about most? Bottom line, when it gets right down to it, especially before we know Jesus, we're the star of our show. We might do some things to make us feel good. You know, I mean, we have multimillionaires, billionaires now that are they're doing good things, but they're not doing them in the name of the Lord, but they're still doing good things, and it's trying to make them feel better. But they're not giving up at all. Last night I saw an advertisement on TV, and I thought they were talking about a story of these people that were just they went from riches to rags, and I thought it was going to be one of those, you know, a story about that somebody that had lost it all, like in the you know, the economic downturn or something like that. But then as it came out, what it turned out is it's going to be secret millionaires. Like they've had the undercover boss, now they've got some people that just have multiple millions and billions of dollars, and they're going to go live under the radar with people and find places to support and give to their money. So they're doing some things, but we all know that righteousness is as filthy rags without Christ. That God could make it so much better. I applaud those people that do those nice things, but if it's not done with Christ, then it's not going to be all that it could be. And we're still going to be on our own road, on our own stage, being our own star, and every day it's just going to be same story, second verse. But there comes a time where we can turn the page. And all of us in our lives, we're no different than people that are in jail. We can be locked into a place. For the people in jail, I said, okay, here's the deal. We can go by statistics and we can go by facts. And do you know what your future is? Not good. But the same is true of everyone who doesn't know Christ. Because the truth is that without Christ, we perish. But for them to understand that they can listen to the facts and the statistics and what the future holds for them, or they can turn a page and begin to see what the truth holds for them. I don't know about you, but I prefer the truth. Because the truth makes us free. Last week, also, the Lord had led me to Isaiah chapter 4. It's a short, short chapter. It says, in that day, I use the CEV Bible, and verse 5 says, then the Lord will cover the whole city and its meeting places with a thick cloud each day and with a flaming fire each night, and God's own glory will be a huge tent that covers everything. And there will be a tabernacle. In the New King James, it says in verse 6, for shade in the daytime from the heat, in the place of refuge, and a shelter from the storm. It says that He is going to take care of everybody who survives all the destruction. Folks, when we come to know Jesus, we just became survivors of the destruction. We moved out of surviving this life into thriving in the kingdom of God. But the degree to which we thrive in the kingdom of God is closely related to how much we really believe that He takes care of His own. This morning the Lord said when darkness moves in, light will shine. It will come. It will cover. It will be as a tent. That was the thing that it spoke to me, that He will shine. That's the truth. To anticipate the light. Anticipate His coming. Anticipate His solution to things. It may well look, we can all think of some time in our life where if we wanted to, even after knowing Christ, where we could say, well, God must have forgotten me. But it's a fool that says there is no God. It would be foolish to say that He forgot us. It would be foolish for us to say that He doesn't take care of His own. And yet that's all the enemy wants to do, is get us to say, God didn't take care of you. He took care of somebody else better than He took care of you. How do you know that? How do you know what God is doing? How do you know? Isn't it easier just to trust? Wouldn't it be better just to trust? You know, it doesn't... Sometimes, you know, you say, it's just easy to trust God, and I can see the look on some people's face, yeah, it's easy for you to say. You know what? Sometimes I think about that. And the biggest reason that it's easy for me is because I'm too lazy not to. I'm a big baby, okay? I'd rather believe that He's going to do what He says than fight against the opposite. It's a weakness that I have, okay? But I've thought about the fact of, you know, I mean, literally, I was at a place where although my life may have been falling apart, my life was coming together. Music was what I wanted to do. Connections were coming into place. There began to look like opportunities. Songs were being written that I thought, whoa, these are starting to come. All that kind of stuff. And here comes God. And suddenly I'm writing things like, Lord, here I am. I'm on my knees to You. I'm begging Your forgiveness and Your love so true. Take me. Mold me. Show me the way. Well, I sort of liked the song, but it wouldn't sell in a bar. And that's where I was. Wouldn't sell in Las Vegas, where I wanted to go. I wanted to sell my soul to be an entertainer in Las Vegas, and the Lord took me to Highmore. And told me He would take care of me when I needed it, and not before and not after. And I thought that sounded like a good deal. It didn't make a lick of sense, but it sounded like a good deal. It made no sense to my old mind, so obviously I lost my mind. There were some people who were telling the truth. He's lost his mind. But it was a good thing I lost my mind and took his, so that I would be just foolish enough to believe that he was telling me the truth. Now, that's a miracle of God. Doesn't have anything to do with me. It's not me. That's just the way that it was. That when it came to that place, it was either all the way or not at all. I turned the page. But every day we have to turn the page. Every day. We have to fight the good fight of faith. Every day we have to turn to truth. Every day, in every circumstance, we have to make the same declaration. We have to use the tools that God gives us. God gave us a tool. How long have we been singing? Shake off those heavy bands. Lift up those holy hands. Let all God's people praise the Lord. It's a tool we've had for 25 years, I bet you. We can put it back into action. Should have been using it all the time. But today, the Lord pointed it out, in particular, shake it off. Hey, people do a lot weirder stuff than that in the world. What would be so wrong as if you're walking down the street and all of a sudden you go, hey, we've had a long winter. People do that a lot. They come in from outside. So, hey, we won't look so weird. You know? Stomping our feet, shaking our hands. Oh, hallelujah. That's going to sound good on a microphone. But you know, why not? Every time we shake our hands, we think about the Lord. Every time we stomp the snow off our feet, we think about the Lord. Because the Lord says, in that day, I'm going to be as a tent over you. What day is that? That day that you enter it. We don't want to put this out somewhere far, far in the future. I want it today. And He is a God of today, isn't He? Today, if you hear my voice, if He says, if you hear my voice, harden not your heart, then today's the day. Today is the day of your salvation. Today is the day of your rescue. Today is the day of your deliverance. Today is the day of your healing. Today is the day of your provision. Today, 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 when you pray, He hears. I'll sing to the Lord. I'll lift my voice, for you've heard my cry. I'll lift my hands, for you've lifted me out of the pit. Hard to hold on to things when your hands are in the air, folks. If you have to hold your hands in the air, you want to get rid of any weight that tries to hold them back down. You ever been lifting something up, waiting for somebody to get it, something out from underneath it? And you wonder why they're taking their sweet time? Because you don't want that weight anymore. Folks, we don't need to carry that weight, those things that encumber us. But I'll tell you what, if you're not willing to shake, and you're not willing to lift, and you're not willing to praise, and you're not willing to stomp, and you're not willing to trust, enjoy your burden. That day, you know, there are Israel was always putting up monuments. Piles of rocks here and piles of rocks there. Monuments here, monuments there. They did them as a remembrance. They did them so they could tell. You could build a monument today and say, that day I shook them off. That day I became slick, too slick for that stuff to hold. That day I turned a page. February 27th, 2011. I turned on my afterburner and accelerated my way deeper into the kingdom of God. That day I shook off heavy bands. Shook off things I didn't even know were there. Did you know you got things you don't know are there? Arlen said he stood in the shower, cross lit up on the shower wall, and things started to wash off. Here he thought he'd taken many showers before that, but stuff still washed off. Ooh, man, that's one of those places where you want to take a plunger and push it harder so it goes out further so that it can't sit in the trap, right? Then the Lord will cover you everywhere that you go with a thick cloud each day and with a flaming fire each night. You have to claim the truth as yours. Because it's the truth that makes you free. Facts are facts. Aren't you glad that you don't have to live by the facts, but you can live by the truth? The facts are you'll never get where you want to go. The truth is He'll take you anywhere you want to go. Fact is, without Christ, we're never satisfied. Truth is, He satisfies our soul. We need to be aware of getting on our own road. We need to realize when we've detoured and gotten on our own road, when all of a sudden we're writing the story again. When all of a sudden we're the star of the show. We need to be aware of that and just turn the page and get right back where the Lord has for us a cloud and a tent, a covering, the wisdom, the revelation, the strength, the might, the freedom, the selflessness as opposed to selfishness, where we just trust and we know that above all things God takes care of His own. Anticipate the care of the Lord. Anticipate the love of the Lord. Don't allow your expectations to keep you from anticipating His better plan. That day, when we move into that place, we will have entered that tent of the covering. We will have entered that cloud and that fiery place. We will have entered that place where we'll recognize, as David did when he said, "Soul, you're just talking nonsense. Let's just praise the Lord. Let's shake off this heavy band. Let's lift up our holy hands. Let's put our hands together and praise the Lord." That is always a good day. And that day is the day that the Lord has provided for us. This day, the Lord says, if you hear my voice. This day, turn the page. This day, move into a deeper relationship that causes you to trust more. We can't stop somewhere any more than a baby can be born and never change. Just because we're born into the kingdom of God doesn't mean we don't need to change. Doesn't mean that we don't need to move deeper. We don't need to trust more. Doesn't mean that things won't come against us that we better be ready to trust. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. In all your ways, acknowledge Him. Lean not on your own understanding. Show me your ways. Teach me your paths, Lord. I always take care of my own. That's the Lord's promise to you. I am His. He is mine. Just one more picture for you, because I've got to have this picture out. And that is it. I've had the Lord speaking to me about that. That it's as though He's knocking on a door. But He's knocking on a door not so that He can get in where we are, but so that we can come in where He is. And when I first got that picture from Him, I thought, well, yeah, because Christ in me, that's my hope of glory. But when I'm in Him, I'm more than a conqueror. And you know those motels that have adjoining rooms? And each room has two doors. So that you can lock your door so the people you don't know can't come in. And I had this picture of being in an adjoining room, and I'm in my Motel 6. And his door opens into the top of the crown. And his door is wide open. And he's knocking on my door, wanting me to open up my door and come into his place. See, too often as Christians, we may open up our door, but we want him to come into our place. want him to conform to the way we think. He just can't get that small, folks. But now we can come into his place where he is, where there's life forevermore, where there's truth, where there's power, where the joy of the Lord is our strength, where everything, all of the tools are there, the table is prepared before us. He's knocking. He's knocking in the hearts of Christians and he's saying, come in to this place that I have for you. We're going to need it, folks. We're going to need it. Don't be surprised at various trials. Don't be surprised when things come against you. Don't be surprised when it looks like the enemy is making progress and he's about to win the victory. Don't be surprised, but know this. I always take care of my own, the Lord says. So we can just stand on that. We can stand on that. With a cloud covering us, with a fire leading us, with a tent of a covering, we can know that he's going to show up that day. That day when we lock in on that and refuse to let go of it, every time we do that, he's watching over it. I said one other thing, but there's one other thing too. Because there's another. The chorus that we sing, "You're So Good to Me." That's another Seeger song. I'm pretty sure it is. I don't think it's my song. I think it's a Seeger song. And after singing "Turn the Page," I was singing that and I said, "Listen, this needs to be your declaration." And I told him about a guy in our church that makes the declarations for us. And I said, "Listen, this is a good declaration. You're good to me." I said, "What do you think God's going to say when you're saying you're good to me? You think he's going to say, 'Forget you'? No. He's going to answer and say, 'You have no idea what I have for you. You have no idea how great I am. You're right, I am good for you. And I'll be good to you. Because you're so good to me.'" In the midst of a trial, if you're saying to the Lord, "God, you're so good to me," what's he going to say? "Oh, you're right. You're right." We open the door. Our declarations open the door. Our declarations turn the page for the Lord to do the things that God wants to do. Okay. So, Lord, this is that day. One of those days. This is, sometimes people out in the world say, "Well, you know, it's one of those days." Hallelujah. When somebody says that around us, Father, we should just start shouting, "Praise God!" Yes, it is. This is the day the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Thank you, Father. Thank you for your word. Thank you for your truth. Thank you, Lord, that we can face the facts with truth. And the truth makes us free. Thank you, Lord, that you have made us more than conquerors through Christ who strengthens us. Thank you, Lord, that you allow us to turn a page into the book that you've written, into the way that you have determined. And it's a good way. It's the King's highway. We thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord.